This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm very happy to be with you today. I certainly do love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. One of the real big things that we like to do around these parts of Women of Grace is to, edify the body of Christ, right? To encourage the body of Christ, and even as encouraging as we can be sometimes, the weight of the world can get mighty heavy. And this is why we have great saints to show us how it is that we can live out our call and mission according to the plan of God, according to His will for each one of us individually and corporately as His people. And, I'm really excited because today is the feast day of one of my favorite saints, and we're going to be talking about him in just a moment. But I do want to give you a number that you can use. We love hearing from you. I am eager to hear your thoughts about this great saint and anything else that you want to talk about. I'm going to give you that number right now. Ryan Penny on the phone. Looking forward to hearing from you at 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Easy breezy. Very swift to remember. It's just 833-288-EWTN. So do call us. We also invite you to use the opportunities that are available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there. Jeff Burson, back in the saddle with us again, will dash on out there. Yes, he will. And he will pull your questions and your comments, your insights, your inspirations, your words of encouragement, and put them up on the board for us today. And we'll be sure to get to them. Yesterday, I threw out a question, and my golly, did we get a lot of responses from individuals. And the question was, what does it mean to be a Catholic? And that is a good question. What does it mean to you to be a Catholic? And I guess, if we wanted to frame that a little bit more broadly than our own, sometimes parochial view of that, then I would encourage us to ask, what does it mean to be a Catholic in the eyes of God? What does it mean to be a Catholic in the eyes of Holy Mother Church? And our great saint today, I think, gives us a profound witness and profound example of what it means to be a Catholic on every single level. And so today is the feast day of a great martyr of our day and time. We say our day and time. He's a contemporary. You might have been born after his death. I know I was. So I'm guessing you might have been too. But nonetheless, he's a contemporary. He happened in these recent years of the history of man, and that is St. Maximilian Kolbe. And we like to call her Our Lady's Public Agent. He is the patron saint of news media. He's the patron saint of the pro-life movement. He really is a patron saint for our day and time. And he used the printing press to his great advantage back in his own day and time. He lived from 1894 until 1941. Excuse me, it was in 1941 that he gave his life in the greatest witness to the faith that we can, and that is through a martyrdom for the sake of another. What an amazing reality, right? It was a testimony to God in him, the God life moving in and through this great saint. And I want to tell you, we need to be praying to him and to other great saints who have gone before, saints of antiquity up to the present day. We need to be asking for the intercession of saints to be willing to give that same ultimate witness if, in fact, the circumstances make that glorious opportunity available to us. So I wanted to spend the first part of this program talking a little bit about him. I'm going to share some facts, and I'm actually going to be reading to you. And I hope you don't mind that, but I'm going to be reading to you for the most part from the book that Thomas K. Sullivan and I authored called The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. It's available for you out there at EWTN's religious catalog. That's EWTNRC.com, inviting you to get a copy. It's a great book. And I say that not because, I was a co-author of that book. It's a great book because it approaches the rosary from a very different perspective than most rosary books do. It's not a compilation in the sense of the history of the rosary, though the history of the rosary is discussed. But it's really a call to arms. It's a call to pick up the rosary, our weapon for spiritual warfare, and to wield it mightily, bravely, unabashedly, without apology, in this our day and time. In and of itself, it has tremendous efficacy and power if it is, in fact, a blessed object, if it's a sacramental, been blessed by a priest. The blessing on it is profound. But I believe, frankly, this is my belief, Johnnet Williams' belief. I'm not speaking on behalf of the church or EWTN or anybody else. I'm speaking in my own framework of vision. There is a particular efficacy on the rosary right now, a particular efficacy, a particular effectiveness, because the times are so great. And if you go historically back, and I'm rattling on, and I'm going to get to St. Maximilian in a minute, but if you look historically at the church, in times of great need, from the time that the rosary was entrusted to St. Dominic to the present day, it has been that prayer, you know, which the source of strength which flows from the holy sacrifice of the Mass into those glorious mysteries of the rosary, it is that prayer that has been used by popes, by the populations, by individuals, you know, corporately in a public setting, to change the course of world events. And if you don't believe me, get this book and read it, because it's going to tell you about those events, and it's going to encourage you that though yes, we're fighting a mighty battle, and if you don't see that there is a battle raging, and that this battle that's being played out in the temporal dimension, this battle that's being played out in the culture of man, in the civilization of man at this moment, if you don't see that this is connected to the heavenlies, then I'm going to ask you to beg God to give you spiritual vision. Because this is part of the primordial battle between good and evil. And the instruments that the evil one uses to display his pride, his vindictiveness, his vitriol, his hatred, go to the thesaurus and find any word that you want and substitute it for misery and hatred. He uses human persons. He uses human persons. And he dresses his diabolical plans, he dresses his diabolical plots up in beautiful array, right? He makes them look glorious and lovely, and he'll attach, you know, what we would infer as really good causes to this manifestation of hell itself. He'll attach it and he'll dress it up and he'll make it look glorious so that he will get us to become engaged. And once we become engaged, because there are powers and principalities that attend to these things, we become infected by them to some extent. Spirits of delusion, spirits of seduction, spirits of deception, spirits of blindness, spirits of deafness will attach themselves and will no longer be able to see truth. And then what happens? We run away from the one who is the way and the truth and the life, and we find ourselves in a worse situation than we were in before. All of the mayhem developed. That's been the story. That's been the story since the garden. And it's the story right now. And it's happening in our midst. But we are not without hope. We are not abandoned nor forsaken. And we are not without strength and power. We have strength and power. And one of the ways that strength and that power is ours is for the rosary. More about all of that in St. Maximilian Kolbe when we come back. What are your thoughts about this? I want to know. 833-288-EWTN. Coming right back at you. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnnet Williams.
Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnnet Williams. We're delighted to be with you today. I'll tell you what, I am wound up because today is the feast day of a great saint, St. Maximilian Kolbe, a man for our day and time. And you know, I'm going to just tell you a little secret, and I hope Jeff doesn't mind. But when we were on our break there, he said to me, you know, did you ever meet the man that St. Maximilian Kolbe gave his life for? And I said, no, I didn't meet him. But years ago on The Abundant Life, I interviewed a gentleman gentleman who witnessed that whole scene, and it was quite moving and touching. And he said, well, I did meet him. He said, years ago, Mother Angelica had this gentleman whose life was saved as a result of the courageous action of Maximilian Kolbe back in Auschwitz during the Second World War. And he came to the network, and Mother interviewed him. And I asked Jeff, I said, was he Jewish? And he said he had been Jewish, but he was a convert to the Catholic faith. We have no idea how it is that the action of one person affects another, but we know that all actions affect others, whether they're positive or negative, whether they're holy or unholy, whether they're good or whether they're evil. There is always a corporate effect, and the corporate effect of Maximilian Kolbe's act of sacrifice not only had an effect in the life of that man, but has had an effect in the lives of so many millions of people. And it is true. He's a great man. I do want to talk more about him, but I want to get to Alice, inviting you to give us a call today. We are open for you here. Yes, we are. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I was giving you an earful a little bit before we went to the break about what we see happening in our world today, and that we have to identify what its true cause and source is. It's coming from an unholy source. All mayhem, all discord, all violence does not, all of that points in one direction. It points to hell, and it points to the powers and the principalities that govern the actions of man when man is open to being governed by those powers and principalities. And that's what we're seeing going on in the world today. And to make no mistake about it, that's absolutely the genesis of it. It's the origin of it. And it's a further expression, if you will, of that battle that began right there in the Garden of Eden. And the evil one does not change his tactics. Let's get to Alice. She's out there in Norman, Oklahoma. Oklahoma Catholic Radio is the way she's with us. I got a very big bell here, Alice. It's like the ding-dong school bell. My little one is packed away somewhere, so I'm going to ring this one. Oh, it's going to gong. Oh, there it is. All for you, Alice. How are you?
Oh, I am fine. Thank you. I enjoy listening to your show, and but I have a question. It's not on your subject today.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I'm not sure whether I was just dreaming this. I thought I heard it on EWTN.
Okay.
About the shingles shot.
Okay.
I thought I understood that was made. The vaccine was made from aborted babies. Am I right or not?
Well, you know, here's the thing about these vaccines, and it's, you know, and it's a beautiful question that you're asking, and it's the one that we have to work through. And I want to refer you to a great source where you can get more information than I can give you, and probably, you know, a deeper understanding of it than I'm certainly able to do. And that would be to go to the National Catholic Bioethics Center, National Catholic Bioethics Center. That's National Catholic NCBC dot, I think it's org. It could be calm. I'm never sure about the extensions. National Catholic Bioethics Center. And you can put in vaccine in the search engines, and you can put in shingles vaccine, and it'll come up and it'll mm-hmm. talk with you. Now, is it true that in many of the immunizations that are available today, that they began with the cells of aborted fetuses? That is true. Yes, that has happened. But the strains that have been developed since then are not necessarily connected to that. They're so far removed from that. And so the question is, with a new vaccine coming out, like the COVID-19 vaccine, you know, what is being used to manufacture that? You know, is it, will this vaccine, I don't know a better way to put it, but is it a first generation from aborted baby tissue, or is it not? We know that that would be reprehensible, right? And yet there is some provision in there. There is some provision in there that needs to be explored as to whether or not that can be used or should. Obviously, it never should be used. Let me just say that. But can we be vaccinated with that vaccine as Catholics? Can we do that in good conscience? And that's what the National Bioethics Center, National Catholic Bioethics Center, sorts out for us. And so I want to refer you to there to read about all of this. Years ago, there was an interesting situation that happened. And let me see if I can get the exact name. I'm going to try really hard to do this. The exact name this book. I've read it, but I read so many books, sometimes these things escape me. But the exact name. But this was a book. And I'm going to give me just a second here while I type this. Here it is. Yeah, it's called The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. The Immortal Life of, let's see. Come on, Jeanette. Let me just zip to it. Yeah, there. The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. It was written by Rebecca Sloot in 2011. It's a fascinating read, and it's about this woman, Henrietta Lacks, who had a myriad of different problems, physical problems, but she developed cancer, and they took her tumor, and they used the tumor from her body to make the first kinds of treatments for cancer, and it was unfair. Today, you know why we have to sign off on those things? Like if you've ever had to have something, removed, and they'll come in and they'll say, well, can we use this tissue from you for scientific purposes? And you have to sign off. Yes, you have. That's all because of this woman. They just took her tumor and did this business with it, and then the big pharma made millions of dollars on this woman's tissue. But interestingly, that tissue that was originally used from Henrietta is the strains that have been developed are not connected to that at all. So I'm trying to draw a parallel between that and between some of the vaccines. But for more knowledge, I'm going to send you out there, because I think that if you go to the National Catholic Bioethics Center, Alice, you're going to discover what it is that you're looking for, and it's going to be given to you in a more cogent way than I can do on the air here.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, Alice, and I appreciate you, and God bless you today and always, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Call again. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Yeah, it was a fascinating book. I couldn't put it down, quite frankly. The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. A very interesting book. Let's go to Hannah. She is in Cleveland, Ohio, and she's listening to us via The Rock. Hello to Bernadette and all of those good people out there in Cleveland. How are you doing today, Hannah?
Oh, thank you so much. Bernadette is wonderful. I got some little dealings with her, too. But this is so nice to hear. And of course.
Yeah. She's the executive director of The Rock, Bernadette Bogusky.
Yeah.
We're happy for all of the good work that she does and all of the good people there. I had the opportunity to visit there not all that long ago, and it was lovely.
Oh, good. That's how come you know.
Yes.
Yeah. She is a wonder. Oh, boy. Thanks for this call that you took of mine, too. I was so surprised. You opened a program with the weapon of the rosary.
Yes, I did. Yes,
and,
I did.
Yeah, and yesterday I was reading a mailing I got from America Needs Fatima, and they sent me a beautiful, nice rosary, as they do, but it was on the Battle of Lepanto. They had, Europe was in such danger of 1590 or whatever that was, and there was in such danger from the Moors coming and making Europe Moorish, just taking over and losing Christian Europe. And so the Pope and couldn't get too many countries to go along for many different reasons, but they got some. And with their overwhelmed military by the on the sea that they had with the Moors, the Pope asked that everybody pray the rosary, and the ships, they did all that too. Anyways, and they did win an amazing victory, that one, the rosary. And then how Austria just escaped, just plopped right out of the Soviet bloc because the bishops asked the people, 10% of us, 10%, asked the people to pray the rosary, and so unexpectedly, Austria, the gem of the Soviet bloc, was just plain old let go. So now, with our elections coming up where we might really lose our religious freedoms, if it be God's will, we have to fight harder, but if we could do this 10%, and that's a lot of this country, because a lot of people don't like the rosary, don't like Catholic, whatever, but the rosary doesn't have to be for Catholics and only, and there are a lot of not Catholics who pray the rosary.
Absolutely.
But see, I do want to ask the country to please, you know, it starts August 15th till October, I forgot what date, every day the rosary for the elections to pray that we don't lose our religious freedoms in this country.
Yes.
There's my idea.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and I have to agree with you 100%. And, you know, the thing of it is, God doesn't need a lot of people to affect anything, and God doesn't need any people to affect anything, but he chooses to incorporate us into his great plans for the world, for the benefit of all people. And he will generally whittle down big armies to small groups. And we see that, don't we, in the battle that Gideon fought, and God kept asking him, you know, to reduce his troops, so that we could see that it was through his power and through his glory. But as you so rightly state, we've got to get about the business of doing it. So we've got to wield the weapon. I love that. We've got to pick up the rosary and begin to use it. And again, just to plug the book, we talk about the Battle of Lepanto. We talk about how that particular moment in history, was an incredible moment, a miraculous moment, and how it came through the prayer of the rosary. But there's other stories in there. And one of my very favorite ones comes from Brazil. And this is in the 60s, the early 60s. Many of us listening today remember the 60s. And in the early 60s, Brazil was underneath the threat of falling to the communist powers. And they had infiltrated the government. They had infiltrated like all of the social service agencies that they had been planted there. And this great coup was about to take place. And the people began to notice that out there in the world, things were changing. We have to have eyes to see. And today we see things are changing, and we have to have eyes to see and to know what that means. It means it's time to get busy about the business of picking up that rosary and praying, because things are threatened right now, and they were threatened then. And so the gentlemen there in Brazil, they had this great big old plan going on, and they were going to affect this plan, and that was fine. But one of the wives of one of the men overheard what they were talking about, and you know, men are fantastic at strategy, but so are women. And so this Brazilian woman, her name was Dona Emília Bastos, she was listening to her husband and these other anti-red leaders talk about the pressing communist threat, and she made a bold move. And these are her very words: "I suddenly decided that politics had become too important to be left entirely to the men." She was 59 years old. She was described as a 90-pound package of feminine energy, which I love. I think the majority of us weigh a little more than 90 pounds, but I hope that we're filled with that kind of energy. And she arranged this beautiful thing where she was going to influence the public square through women's efforts, and her efforts were to start these rosary groups. And so she got all of these women to begin to pray the rosary. And as they began to pray the rosary, things began to change. And what they did at this one particular moment is they went into the capital of the city, and I'm just going to read this. Cardinal Camara's attention. She helped to recruit more than 500,000 women to march in Brazil's capital city of Sao Paulo while praying the rosary for peace. They called their protest March of the Family with God Toward Freedom. Clutching their beads and raising anti-communist banners, the women filled the streets of the city praying the rosary and imploring heaven. And during the march, a communist official tried to speak, and the women began to rattle their rosaries and pray so loudly that his voice was drowned out, and he angrily stormed away. And what happened after that was that the communists completely retreated from Brazil. They left Brazil alone because of these women praying the rosary. And the men of the day, and the guys that were involved in government officials were government officials and government offices, as well as the men who had planned this, the businessmen that were planning this counter coup, if you will, said that it was the rosary. They said it was the rosary and the women that did this. And I was listening to Father Mitch's program the other night, and he was interviewing a Monsignor whose name is escaping me, who wrote a great book called Saints and Sinners of the Cristeros War. And he was talking about the big role that women played in the Cruceros War. And I'm telling you, Hannah, I hope you agree with me. We women, we can do this thing. We just have to be about the business of getting to it. We can do this thing. What do you think?
And publicize, too, that, just my little thing, thinking about one of the little yard signs to put out, but there's a Rosary for Life, those 20,000 different Rosary for Lives around the country that's maybe have one of these, or start this up for, Rosary for Life, but Rosary for our religious freedom in our country.
Well, that's right.
That on this election, it's so in danger now. Yeah.
No question about it. And that is the fact of the, that is really the fact of the matter. The fact of the matter is that, we are under attack. The sins of Russia have come to this country, and I'm talking about the sins of the Bolshevik Revolution. 1973, no-fault divorce came to America. 1973, same year that abortion became legal because of Roe v. Wade. And those were two of the very first things that the Bolshevik Revolution instituted in Russia. And we see, to raise those rosaries in this moment when things could go to into total reversal of what we know and love, is also raising the rosary for life. It's all of a warp and a woof in the eyes of God, right? All of a warp and a woof. If you want to stay with us, hang on, Hannah. We're going to go to a break, inviting you to call us. What are your thoughts on this subject today? More on St. Maximilian Kolbe. I promise you I'll get there. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Oh, yeah. We're talking about the rosary today. We're talking about spiritual weaponry. We're talking about getting about the business of being those soldiers that God's calling us to be. We need you. Amen and hallelujah. We're going to be right back. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Coming back at you. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today, inviting you to pick up your rosaries and wield them. We want to hear from you, too. Let me give you the number that you can use. It's toll-free for you right here. Ryan Penny is very excited to hear from you. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. So when you call in, be sure to say howdy, hey to Ryan. Jeff Burson is also very eager to get your questions or comments out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So we invite you to leave it right there in the chat feature, and he'll grab it and get it up on the board, and we'll see what's going on in your world today. We're talking about the rosary. We're talking about the great saint of the day, St. Maximilian Kolbe, and we're going to get to him a little bit more. Maybe right even now, we'll talk a little bit about him as Ryan is putting up some of your calls here today. St. Maximilian Kolbe, marvelous saint of God, martyr, tremendous, tremendous witness to us, for us at this moment in the history of man. Very, very important figure for us. And we need to be asking God to help us to have the same kind of a courage, right? And our martyrdom may not come through the spilling of our blood, but our martyrdom can come to us in speaking for truth, standing for truth, sacrificially praying the rosary, just making the time to do it sometimes can be a hard thing. But, God sees that. And he takes that sacrifice along with your prayers, and wonderful, marvelous things happen. So St. Maximilian Kolbe, as a little child, was a very devout little child. And he had a tremendous moment in his young life when he had a vision of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Blessed Virgin Mary came and held out two crowns to him. And the one crown was red flowers, the other was white. And she asked him which of the two he wanted. And he realized that the one crown that was red represented martyrdom. And the other one represented to be a priest of God. And he said he would choose both. And that's exactly what he did. And he became a great priest, and he was very instrumental in getting out the word of God through the printing press. But he also wrote marvelous things about our Blessed Mother. And he helps for us to understand her role in salvation history. And what I would want to say about that is that he, in a very specific way, helped us to understand that the selection of Mary, chosen by God, not a capricious action of God, but a planned action of God, was intended, and her role that was given to her to bring Jesus to the world and the world of Jesus Christ did not last only through her temporal existence, but also is hers for all eternity. And she is the queen of heaven, and she is the queen of earth. And he talks with us about the way in which God did select her, and how he foresaw her, and how he shared that moment with the angels before time began. And this was the cause of the rebellion. And so that took place in the heavenlies, right? And so the demons, he tells us, never forgot the vision of the Immaculata. And they flare up at the idea that a woman's heel would crush their heads. And so he takes us into a great, beautiful explanation of Mary's role, and helps for us to see that indeed this mother of ours wants to smite the heads of all of the serpents that plague us, not only corporately in the world of man, but also in our own personal lives. And one of the greatest prayers that we can pray is the Rosary, where our Blessed Lady takes us into the mysteries of her son's life, and helps us to obtain the graces that are attached there, that are waiting for us, that are waiting for us in the eternal moment. They're always there. They're always there for us. And so he takes us through this process. And we talk about all of that in the book, The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare, that's available for you at EWTNRC.com. All righty, we're going to go to Marie. She is in Muskegon, Michigan, and she is listening to us via Ave Maria Radio online. And she's a first-time caller. And here's that big old bell for you. Ringing at Marie to welcome you for the first time to our program. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Can you hear me all right?
I do. Very well.
I'm doing well.
Good.
Good. Thank you. I'm so glad to got through. That's great. I enjoy your program so very much.
Well, thanks. So what's going on? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I just, you were talking about the Rosary and the power of the Rosary, and when, you know, the whole epidemic started and then the riots started, a good friend of mine, Mary Jo, started, got us together, a group of us, and on every Monday we pray all the decades of the Rosary for our country and our nation. And then a few weeks ago we started doing the Patriotic Rosary, incorporating in that. Into it, and I wanted just to let the woman know beforehand. I don't know if she knows about this. It's from Friends of Magicory, but it goes through every single state, and you're praying over every state. You're praying over all your leaders and all of that, and our priests and our deacons, and it's a beautiful rosary available. And she was also talking about people. You know, getting together to pray the rosary, and I did hear on the radio today that there are 100 days of prayer. They would like to get 10,000 people to pray the rosary for 100 days for our nation, and that starts tomorrow and goes for, you know, 100 days. I'm sure she can find that. I heard it on Teresa Tamio's program this morning. So that's all I wanted to share.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing us really good news, Marie. And, you know, I think that there is great power in people coming together to pray. And even if we're not located in the same room, you know, as you're fortunately able to be with your lady friends, the fact of the matter is, you know, if 10,000 people are praying the rosary, and I think that we should even think bigger than that, if 10,000 people are praying the rosary with the intention of healing our land, then And I think we're fulfilling a beautiful scripture passage, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I think that we are also releasing from the heavenlies all of the graces that God wants us to know in that moment. And so Amen. I do really, yeah, I want to encourage all of us to do that. Now, and if you're a regular rosary prayer and you pray the rosary yeah. every day, and I think many of us do, it's okay mm-hmm. for you to say, okay, for the next 100 days, you know, I'm going to make this my intention. And people will say, oh yeah, but I'm praying the rosary for this intention, or I'm praying it from this child of mine, or, you know, this situation, this circumstance. That's okay. God will incorporate all that in. He is not a stingy God, you know, He's generous. So don't worry about that. Let God handle that and just say, Lord, I'm giving you all of that. But for these 100 days, I'm praying the rosary for this intention. Let's do that. Let's join together and do that. And the Patriarch rosary would be a beautiful way to incorporate yeah. that into this, 100 days of rosary praying. I love it.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. It is. It's beautiful. And it also incorporates song in it too, you know, patriotic song.
Mm-hmm.
And, it talks about, well, in the Battle Hymn of the Republic, it doesn't exactly state, but it does talk about the head of Satan being crushed.
Yes.
And, we don't ever hear that verse. It's always cut out, you know, because we just sing certain verses. But, when I heard that for the first time, we all were looking it up to see if it actually does say something like that. And it does, so.
Well, we have to remember that's right. And we have to remember that, you know, this nation was founded under God, right? And
exactly.
using the name. Yeah, and proclaiming God and being able not to have the freedom of worship, which is what Russians had, you know, that was also a part of the whole revolutionary thing. It wasn't, you know, the freedom to practice religion. It was the freedom of worship. That's very different than the freedom of religion. Very different. It means you can worship, go into your little, you know, church, your little synagogue, you know, and pray. You know, that's fine, but you can't mention God in the public square. And there, you know, I don't know if people were aware of this, but that language was changed. And it was really changed, I think, during the Clinton administration. And certainly was changed through Hillary Clinton's platform, where it was freedom to worship, not freedom of religion. They're not the same thing. And we have to be aware of that. So we want to be able to proclaim the good news of Jesus in the public square, to be able to use the public square as a place of evangelization, and not be penalized for that in any way. Right. Certainly not criminalized for it, which could happen. So we have to protect our freedoms. If we don't protect our freedoms, we're going to lose our freedoms. And
And now's the time we more than ever, because those freedoms are slipping away from us.
That's right. And I just want to say that the Catholic Church talks about the virtue of citizenship in the Catechism, that being, being a faithful citizen to your country, upholding that in your country, which is God honoring, is the call of every single one of us. That is not outside of the religion. That is at the heart of the religion. We are called to protect and preserve that which is God honoring, and to try to reclaim that which has been lost. That's the job that we have today. So you bring up many good points, and I'm really, really excited about it. And let's get about this thing, folks. Let's just join this. I don't know if you have to sign up for that or not. You can tell me that. But I think for the most part, Marie, we can just be about the business of doing it.
Yes, we can. I think for the one with the 10,000, they do want you to sign up just so that they've got a count going. But yes, they will of course take more. But
sure. So whether you do it silently, anonymously, or sign up, folks, the idea is to do it. So thank you for the good news that you bring, Marie. Let's do it. Let's get about the business. Thank you
so much.
You're
have
welcome.
A blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
So the scripture passage that I was referring to is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people come and pray and beseech me, basically this is a paraphrase, then I will heal their land. You want to see the land being healed? It's up to us to do it. It's up to the believer to do it. I'm just saying. So we've got to get about the business of being who God is calling us to be at this moment in our history. Let's get off to Sylvia. Sylvia there. She's at Station of the Cross. How are you? And she's in Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Sylvia.
Yeah, hi, Jeanette.
Hi.
I actually met you once when you were out here in Buffalo.
Oh, good.
And I'm a former Pittsburgher, too. And, when you were here and you were talking about being in Pittsburgh, and I whispered to her, I'll bet she knows where Kennywood Park is. So when I told you where I was from, the first words out of your mouth were, oh, Kennywood Park.
Oh, are you from West Mifflin?
Yeah.
West Mifflin. There you go. That's where Kennywood is.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was saying, okay, the lady that called in earlier about the shingles vaccine.
Yes.
I was concerned about that for the longest time, and the original one, which was called Zostavax, there was an issue with that.
Okay.
And I resisted it for a really long time. Okay. My doctors were always after me, and I kept resisting it. Finally, they came up with another one. It's called Shingrix. And so I researched that one. There is not a concern with that one.
Okay.
So I did look it up. Now, the thing with the new one is that you have to get two shots. You have to get them within 6 months of each other.
Yes.
The original one was only one shot, but the new one, you have to get two.
Yeah. Well, that's very good. And frankly, I'll let y'all know that I had that one that you talked about, and there's like a booster that happens 6 months later, and it is Shingrix, Shingrix.
Right.
So for those of you that are anticipating this, you know, you ask your doctor. And you know what? I think it's very fair to ask your doctor these questions, because I don't know how many of the doctors really think about those issues. Some do. But to ask them, you know, I don't want to use any kind of a vaccine that's connected to aborted babies. See what they say. Ask them to do the research and let you know on it.
The new one, I don't even know anymore that they're even recommending the old one anymore so much. I think mostly now they're just doing the Shingrix.
Yeah, that's very good.
I used to do customer service for a Medicare Advantage plan, and when people would call to ask, I didn't see that they were asking much about that old one anymore. They were just asking about the new one. So it seems like that's what most of the doctors seem to be doing just routinely anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good. Well, and certainly, you know, we want to protect our health. We're called to protect our health. We have a responsibility to do so. It comes to us underneath that fifth commandment. So we want to do it, but we want to be educated, and we want to do it in a very prudential way. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad you called in. It's good to talk with you again.
Yes, okay. I love you so much. You were wonderful.
Okay. Aww. Well, thank you, darling, and God bless you in all things, okay?
You too.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
God bless you too. Okay, and so we thank Sylvia for that call. We thank you for that good information again, Sylvia. And so Shingrix is what Sylvia says is the option for that. And we're going to, I want to talk a little bit more about Maximilian Kolbe, because Patricia in Charleston, West Virginia is asking. Then we'll get back to the phone lines. She said that she is a Protestant, but she listens all of the time, but she doesn't know anything about St. Maximilian Kolbe. And of course, we're quite happy, right? We're quite happy to provide more information about him. I do want to recommend, perhaps, though, Patricia, that you get a copy of the book that Tom Sullivan and I wrote, which is The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. So here's the deal. If you know what was going on in the concentration camps of the Nazis back during the Second World War, you know, Jews were being put in there, but not Jews only. A lot of Catholics were put in there. And as a matter of fact, some of the first people that were rounded up were Catholics. And so we as a Catholic population lost numbers and numbers and numbers, millions of our people. And many priests and many religious sisters were the first to go in, and religious men as well. They were the first to be rounded up. They were a threat. threat to the Nazi doctrine because they stood for it by their very appearance. They stood for, you know, those things that are good, true, and beautiful that come to us from Almighty God. Not to mention, you know, the fact that they lived the truth, which gave a profound witness, and also spoke the truth, which was non-acceptable by the Nazi revolution. So, so they were rounded up, and one of those to be rounded up was Saint Maximilian Kolbe, and he was a Franciscan friar who was a religious man, obviously, and also a priest. And he was known for his evangelization efforts. He had started the Knights of the Immaculata, where he was proclaiming, you know, how it is that our Blessed Lady operates in our lives, and the, God's plan and mission for Our Lady. And how it is that that's affected. He wanted to promote devotion to her, not worship of her, because we as Catholics do not worship her, but devotion to her, asking for her maternal beatitude and intercession. He actually wrote a prayer of consecration to Our Blessed Lady, and he has an 8-day plan, which I made along with St. Louis de Montfort's, but I did Maximilian Kolbe's too. So all of that being said, you know, he was rounded up. He was thrown into the concentration camp. He was vilified by the Nazi soldiers, tormented, tortured. He was left in solitary confinement. The story is gripping, and you're going to want to do some research on him yourself, Patricia. But he was, and that all happened because he gave his life for a man. So there they are, and they would round these people up every day, and one of the tortures that they would have is they would stand them before a firing line, right? And they never knew if the bullets were loaded or if the bullets, if the guns were loaded or if the guns were not loaded. But on this particular day, because somebody had escaped from the camp, they were going to kill somebody. And so these Jews were lined up there, and this one man was chosen by them to be killed, Maximilian Kolbe. This man begged because he had a family. He begged to be let go. And so on this auspicious day, Maximilian Kolbe said to kill him, instead of the man. And so he was killed. But St. Maximilian Kolbe, during the time that he was a prisoner prior to his martyrdom, was known by all of the soldiers, was known by all of the prisoners as a very holy man. And they admired several of the Nazi soldiers admired him, but of course could do nothing for him. So a beautiful story. And as I shared at the beginning, Jeff Burson, our producer, told me that Mother Angelica actually interviewed the man whose life was saved, and he had become a Catholic. So I want to encourage you to go on out there and to take a look and to see what more you can learn from him. And that's the thing, you know, with these saints, they stand to us as older brothers and sisters in Christ who have walked the walk, fought the fight, and have won the battle. And we can learn from their lives. So maybe the question for us, you know, in light of this feast day of St. Maximilian Kolbe, how is God asking me to sacrifice myself today? It is most likely not going to be through the spilling of your blood. But what is he asking you to do today that is sacrificial, that costs you something? For the greater glory of his truth, and for the aid and assistance of this poor, tortured world in which we're living. That's what fasting is. That's what mortification is. It's not fasting for no reason. It's fasting as a sign of being willing to give something of our lives, if not the whole of it, for a greater good, for the beauty, the goodness, and the truth that comes to us from God himself. Let's go to Paul. I think we can get Paul in here really quickly. Sirius XM 130 is the way he's with us. He's a first-time caller. Naples, Florida is the way he's with us. Welcome, Paul, and I'm going to ask you to sum it up sweetly so that we can get you on the air here.
Well, I'm kind of fed up with people not being able to speak out or not speaking out against the people who are in our government who are supposedly Catholic and that are talking about how wonderful abortion is, and how these people don't, in fact, the church, I want the church to speak out against these people who are running for high-level offices in our country. And I think that it's a crime, and it's our own fault for not speaking out. If we don't speak out, we are the ones to blame. We have to speak out, and we have to go against these people and get people to vote. I saw a thing on, I don't know if it was EWTN, about abortion, and they filled up these canisters with like pellets, and they mm-hmm. showed how many people were killed in different wars and how many people were killed gang wars and how many abortion. And the abortion pellets, they should play that on the air every single day.
I couldn't agree with you more. And we've got to leave it there, Paul, and thank you very much. And yes, that was the question I asked yesterday. What is your definition of Catholic? Is it identifying as a Catholic, or is it living according to the truth that's taught to us by the Catholic Church? We can all identify, but what are we doing every day to live that truth? God bless y'all. Bye-bye now.